here's another tack that the AAAS meeting always manages to produce. Could dolphins, healthy ones, give us leads on human diabetes and where it comes from? Stephanie Venn Watson, Director of Clinical Research, U.S. Navy Marine Mammal Program.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Stephanie Venn Watson, and I am a veterinary epidemiologist at the National Marine Mammal Foundation. We are here to present the bottlenose dolphin as an important, natural, and long-lived model for both insulin resistance and diabetes, and this is a disease that accounts for 5% of human deaths globally. It is our hope that this discovery can lead to novel ways to prevent and maybe even cure diabetes in humans. Of course, this work would also benefit dolphin health, which is the primary reason why we've been doing these investigations. We propose that while some people may eat high-protein, low-sugar diets in order to control diabetes, it appears that the dolphin may have developed diabetes in order to adapt to eating high-protein diets. So it's working to their advantage. The evidence is as follows. First, when dolphins are fed sugar, they develop sustained high blood sugar levels that stay high for many hours, mimicking that seen in people with diabetes. Second, when healthy dolphins fast overnight, they have multiple changes in their blood chemistries that match changes found in people with diabetes. What's interesting about this is that when these same dolphins are fed in the morning, they revert back to a non-diabetic state, indicating that these animals may have a genetic fasting switch that can turn diabetes on and off. Third, dolphins and humans share large brains with high demands for readily available blood glucose. Of all other adult animals groups tested, only primates, which include humans, and cetaceans, including dolphins, have red blood cells that are extraordinarily permeable to glucose. So these two completely different species have evolved the similar mechanism for carrying glucose to the brain, which may serve as a foundation for why these two different species may share similar traits with regard to blood glucose, including diabetes. Fourth, we have preliminary evidence of a pathological form of insulin resistance in dolphins that's associated with a disease called hemochromatosis or iron overload. So basically, these animals have too much iron in their bodies. And we're excited about these results because iron overload is also associated with insulin resistance in people. Finally, scientists believe that humans may have selected for insulin resistance during the last ice age, which enabled humans to maintain high blood sugar levels at a time when diets were primarily high protein. Basically, everything with lots of carbs in the diet froze, so they were left with high protein diets. At this time, diabetes may have evolved in humans to benefit them. Similarly, when dolphins left land to live in the ocean 55 million years ago, they also likely selected for insulin resistance when their diet changed from a high carbohydrate land-based diet to a high-protein, ocean-based diet. So what are the implications for human health? Well, if dolphins indeed have a genetic fasting switch that can turn diabetes on and off, then identifying and controlling such a switch in humans could lead to, possibly, the cure to type 2 diabetes in humans. Secondly, insulin resistance may have been selected for in dolphins and humans because it's advantageous for large-brained mammals that eat high-protein diets. As such, it continues to be important to look at the potential benefit of long-term, high-protein, low-carb diets in people with diabetes, keeping in mind that there is a real concern with high-protein diets having a negative impact on people with diabetes, affecting things negatively such as kidney function. We are actively seeking collaborations with the diabetes research community to help turn what is now a compelling story into applicable medicine to benefit the health of both dolphins and humans. And more information can be found at our website, which is nmmfoundation.org, or by emailing us at diabetes@nmmpfoundation.org. Thank you.
Well, you really shook things up in there, didn't you? It's very interesting. But how did you manage to find out all that stuff about the physiology of dolphins? you know, these wild animals in the sea.
What's amazing is that this was all found, this accidental discovery of a tie between humans with diabetes and dolphins came through taking care of a population of animals over long periods of time and really just monitoring their health patterns. So this population came from the Navy's Marine Mammal Program. These animals have been cared for over 40 years. And by having that really valuable set of information, we're watching elegant and simple messages that come out over time caring for animals, fitting into that whole one health approach where caring for one species, we can care for them all. So we're very excited that this might help humans too.
But how flexible is their reaction to the food they eat? You know, if they're eating proteins and they're resisting insulin, how quickly can they switch all that on and off?
It's amazing how quick it is. The study that where we found this association between a diabetic state and a non-diabetic state happens over a 24-hour period. So when they eat, they don't have diabetes. When they fast overnight, they finish between their dinner and their breakfast, they have a diabetic-like state. So it's amazing they can switch this on and off so readily over a 24-hour period.
I presume they eat very little in the way of carbohydrate.
They do. Their diet is fish and some squid, but basically their diet is very high protein, some fat, and very, very low to no carbohydrates.
Have you ever wondered what would happen if you gave them a junk diet, lots of Tweeties and so on?
Well, I would assume that they would have diabetes, and the foundation for that is 40 years ago, the Navy did do research that looked at what happens when a dolphin is fed sugar. When a dolphin is fed sugar, they get blood glucose that goes way up and it stays up for 10 hours, looking just like a person with diabetes. So the assumption is, yes, if they started eating Twinkies, they too would have a disease state of diabetes instead of a healthy state of insulin resistance, which is working to their advantage.
When they had that very high blood sugar level, did it do them harm, do you think?
Not that short of period of time. So those animals were part of the population and remained part of the population for a long time. The assumption is that if these animals continued to eat high carbohydrate diets, you may start seeing those negative effects. A good example is looking at the Alaskan Eskimo population. They used to eat just like a dolphin, very high protein.
Oh my God, around here in San Diego, are these your Navy aircraft?
I don't think those are ours. I think those might be Oh, actually, they are ours. But
so you're to blame for the noise. Anyway, carry on.
If you look at the Alaskan Eskimos, their diet used to be very much like a marine mammal's diet. Lots of fish, high protein, very, very low carbs. These populations had very, very low incidence of diabetes. But now that they're starting to eat and be introduced to these high carbohydrate, Twinkie-like diets, they're starting to see diabetes increase in these populations as well.
My final question, you talked about the history of humans and how we adapted maybe to a protein diet when we were living thousands of years ago. Presumably we've got the mechanism buried there somehow to emulate dolphins. Is that the kind of trigger you're looking for?
We are. We're looking for a trigger that's a careful balance because there is evidence that humans, or at least our ancestors, could survive and thrive on a high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. What we do need to look at, and which is a serious consideration, is the negative impacts of high-protein diets on people with diabetes, because it can actually negatively impact their kidney function.
So the Atkins diet sort of thing.
The Atkins diet. So we need to look at what's the positive and the negative sides, we being the researchers out in the diabetes research community. Can we eat like a dolphin and be healthy like a dolphin? It would be great to think so.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stephanie, for being here at the AAAS.
Great, thank you very much.
Dr. Stephanie Venn-Watson, US Navy Marine Mammal Program.